This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandy, get it on. What's going on there, Dr. Drew?
I got to get it on. I'm in a shitty way.
Oh,
you see that?
What?
Fell off this chair, spilled my coffee.
That's my coffee.
This coffee.
Well,
that you provided.
Yeah, it's mine.
Yeah. And then while cleaning it up, made a bigger spill.
The thing that's funny about Drew, it's actually a pretty good metaphor for life, for our life, for our society. Drew is built. He's got guns on him, and he's got a very sturdy build. I have very skinny arms, and thus I don't look nearly as athletic as Dr. Drew, but I can hit a softball 200 feet farther than he can hit a softball.
Yeah,
now,
easily.
If anybody ever looked at you swing a softball bat, they'd laugh hysterically, and I crushed a ball.
Because I'm all arms, and you swing with your body.
Whatever you are, you look like a you're built like an action figure.
But I am a puss.
Well, you're Raggedy Ann doll when you get to the plate. But the point is our society does way too much looking and not enough watching or listening or something. Now, Drew's wildly uncoordinated.
No, not wildly. I have flippers for arms a lot of the time.
Well, you can't control your own appendages than that.
Well, when I'm tired right now, so they just flip around.
Yeah, you're a ballerina. Other than that. So he can't stop punching microphones and knocking over coffee cups and things like that.
And by the way, my arms are like Jerry West. They like go down to my knees.
Right.
They're long too, which is
ridiculous. Yeah, I have that as well. But so no control over his physicality. Speaking of physicality, Jesus Christ.
What?
Drew, we flew Southwest with Howard on. It was like, listen, Southwest seats are built for 150-pound men/women. I always think about it where they go, the average guy's like 5'10", 170 pounds or something,
right.
So that's a seat. But
not anymore.
Well, A, not anymore, but B, they make those seats for the average man/woman because the flights, it's not an all-dude flight.
Right.
It's not called Sausage Fest Air. It's just called
Sausage West.
Drew, he used up his one joke.
That's it for the year.
And I got you started down that joke
course.
Path.
Of course.
Sausage West. So it's not just Sausage West. So the seats aren't big, and me and Mike August got into one, and then Howard packed into it. It was all three of us on the flight out to Denver to do the show, and it was like, this was... When we heard Howard was flying to Denver, we thought, oh no, not Southwest, not in the seat next to ours. Nothing personal, but you want the smallest. You know what you want? You want a miniature Asian wearing one of those masks like they do.
The sleeping mask?
No, the mask.
Oh, the mask for the TB.
The one over
their
mouth.
TB mask.
Right. And you know what's weird? I love the Asians so much, except for Max Zapata. But he's not one of the good ones. But so the thing is this, I love the Asians so much because somebody told me, I was like, wow, man, they're so paranoid about getting disease.
Mm.
And someone said, oh, no, the sick ones wear that so they don't spread it to the other people. And I was like, oh, so
nice.
Asian of them.
Yes. So considerate.
Our guys. I was, as I was speaking of considerate, I was recounting yesterday with last night, the other night with Mike Lynch, which is... Now, Drew, you never heard this story.
Uh-oh.
But
this can't be it's not possible.
No, it is. It's happened post you. But picture this. You know, I'm always obsessed with narcissism.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with the small tells of narcissism.
Yes.
I'm not interested in the guys that are running the... You know, OPEC nations who have huge pictures of themselves painted on billboards
the cartoon
outside
narcissist
the airport.
We can leave alone.
I understand they exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys exist. I like the people that are posing as civilians, and it turns out they're crazed narcissists, but they don't know it.
So let me just get this right. So it's not just narcissistic liabilities that we all have. You want to people who present as one thing, but in fact are another.
No, they just they live amongst us as regular folks who would, you know, do the thing where if, you know, you were pulling into a parking space, they'd go, no, you go first, or I'll hold the door for you.
Yeah.
They're civil. They're educated. They come from decent families. But then there's just little tells.
OK.
See what I'm saying?
Got it.
So I'll give you two, like, for instance. But you tell me where they rank or how this feels to you.
Right.
And tell me how far out of bounds I am, if at all. I showed up into my studio about a year and a half ago. And
meaning next door here?
Next door.
Okay.
And I looked down, and there was a dog. And that dog was atop a pillow that used to be on the sofa that I would broadcast from. And I said, why is my sofa pillow on the floor and then why is somebody's dog on it? And Brian said, it's my dog. And I said, was the pillow on the floor? And he said, no, I want a pillow for my dog.
Oh.
I thought, well, can't your dog sit on the carpet? And they said, well, I want it on a pillow. I said, so you took the pillow off of my sofa and put it on the floor and then put your dog on it? Yeah.
Right there, that conversation is the tell more than the pillow. There should have been a lot of backpedaling right away as opposed to, yeah, that's my dog, my pillow.
Well, not his pillow.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I claim it for
mine. Oh, yeah. No, that's a narcissistic disorder, or at least what you call a tell.
A tell.
Yeah.
Even a closet narcissist would have gone, I didn't think. I didn't think. I'm sorry.
Well, but you didn't get caught doing anything. You're doing it in my studio, and I'm going to walk in a matter of moments to do my show. So I didn't bust into your room and see you counting my money. This is my studio. You know I'm going to enter sooner or later.
But you never give people that the beat of, I didn't think about it. I did it automatically. I didn't think.
Well, that's part of
that's
part of the narcissistic disorder.
Absolutely. I totally get it. But even then, when you put somebody who's kind of narcissistic on notice, they go, oh, geez, you got me. I'm sorry. I didn't think. My narcissism came through. As opposed to somebody goes, yeah, dog needed a pillow.
Yeah. Well, that's combative and narcissistic, but it's a disorder. But
disorder.
But Brian's off. I told Brian he was off the hook because he was now beat out by a new leader in the clubhouse, which is this story. You're going to enjoy this one. Another one involving their dog. And by the way, Mike will show the pictures of Jane Fonda and her dog. But can I say this? And you guys, and Drew, stop me if I'm wrong. People use their dog as their narcissistic crowbar to beat you over the head with.
It's an expression of their narcissism.
Yeah.
The extension of their narcissism.
Well, what it is it's this. I am me. This is my dog.
Yeah.
I like my dog.
Yeah.
Thus, I will bring it on the airplanes, in the restaurants, to the podcast, on your pillow, because it is me and my dog. Now, you have a dog that you like very much, and I have a dog that I like very much, but I do understand it's my dog that I like very much.
Right.
It's not.
And he could be a pain in the ass to other people, protect other people from him.
At best, indifferent.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're allergic to my dog, or maybe their dog is shedding on someone else's, you know. People come to my house, their dog will hop up on my sofa, and they'll just walk right past it. And again, interesting. And people do that with dogs a lot.
Remember Debbie Harry bringing her dog in?
Yeah. You
do you remember that?
Yes,
that
Debbie
was
Harry.
Crazy.
You don't need a dog to do a broadcast, a podcast, fly an airplane, or go to a restaurant.
First of all,
how
dare you, first of all?
Here's the
it's
one
my
that,
service dog.
Here's
how
the,
dare you?
Here's the one that
we've
makes
established service snakes are coming, too.
Oh, yeah.
You and I.
Oh, yeah, you. That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
And then there's Gilligan, my service pelican, that I'm going to travel with, that I want, and I need a note from you. I travel with pelican. What do you mean? He calms me down. He's Gilligan. That's my pelican.
Are you saying it's less good than medication?
People are traveling with goats and pigs and miniature ponies now. I mean, Drew, we've
crossed over.
Literally, society has gotten out of the barn.
Yeah.
and it's turned into a menagerie of barnyard animals that people travel with.
They all came with.
But we're literally and figuratively out of the barn, and I don't think we can get them back into the barn. That's the problem. So I show up at my house a couple years back, and I walk down to the garage where Jay, assistant Jay, is feverishly working on one of my exotic automobiles, who I like to travel with. And I say, I'm just walking around, and I look down, and I see my cup, my plastic drinking cup, thick plastic drinking cup. Now, here's how my life works. I keep a cup upside down so it doesn't get dusty inside on top of the water cooler that's in my garage. You can see a picture of it. Go to adamcarolla.com/somethingwithdrew.
/Adam and Drew.
That's, by the way, where you want to click through on the Amazon link to, or bookmark it through Adam and Drew, by the way.
That's right. All right. Now, I kept a cup on top of my water cooler.
I see it. With your name. Is it your name on it?
No, it says don't touch.
Oh.
Here, take a hold up.
Oh my God.
Now, let me give you a little
I like the way you even plan for it to be upside down there by making the writing.
Well, let me give you a little window into my world, Dr. Drew.
Oh, I've had many. I see the window. The window's clear to me right now.
I walk around.
It's been squeegeed clean.
I walk around with what I like to think of as a system, and then I have people who I pay follow me around and undo it. I pay them to undo it.
Well, or follow. That's their choice.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground.
I have a cleaning woman who would come to my house, see the glass that was capsized on top of the water cooler, and then bust it upstairs and put it in the kitchen and put it in the sink every time. And I realize I'm not going to yell at her. She's doing her job. I don't know why she can't do this is a water cooler. This is a glass turned upside down on top of the water cooler. There's no cup dispenser. So unless the fellow wants to use his hands or a hubcap or an army helmet.
You know what's dangerous about giving some feedback about that? Because then people go, oh, well, I'm not doing anything unless you tell me now.
Right.
Because I'm afraid. And they get kind of – people get scared of you, dude.
People are too stupid to do the math where there's a cup – on top of a water cooler that's turned over, that's in a garage, and there's no other cups to be found, and no other
the traffic that comes through there. All the people using cups. There must be at least one
it's
other
the
person.
Only cup on top of the only cooler, but because it got taken away too many times, and I'd find myself in the garage drinking out of my hands. Uh-huh. I finally got a cup. This time, I took a Sharpie out and I wrote "Don't touch." And I put it on top of the cooler, and I told her, do not touch this cup.
You told her that?
Yeah, I told everyone that in my house, because that's what they do. They walk around, they unlock French doors, they sweep a balcony off, and then they walk back in, shut the door, and then pull the curtain over it, but don't lock it. So then the door remains unlocked, and then I go out of town, and then about 2 weeks later, I notice, oh, the door to the balcony in the kids' rooms has been unlocked for 2 weeks. Awesome.
Nice.
Thank you. So then I get nail polish, and I start making marks on the door when it's latched. In the latch position, I take the actual deadbolt, the finger turn on the deadbolt, and I put red nail polish on it, and then I make a corresponding line on it.
You're losing it in your old age.
I'm not losing it. Everyone else already lost it. And I'm trying to prevent
you
the
house.
You
can't get them back in the barn. You can't do it.
Well, I'm going out of town, and I have a house with unlocked doors. And
did it change?
Yeah, right. It did. Right. I took a year off my life of arguing with people about literally unlocking door, walk outside, you know, empty ashtray, walk back inside, shut door, and walk away. That's how everyone's wired. Like, not relock the fucking door. But anyway.
All right.
So here's the glass on top of the cooler down in the garage, and I walk in one day, and I see this same glass, half full of water, on the floor, pushed up against the wall, the corner. If you pull back and show the thing again, you see it's on the ground, just sort of up against the wall to the left there. And
against the door jamb, sort of.
Yeah. And I look at it, and I go, why is my glass on the floor?
With water in it.
With water in it. Yeah. And I said it, and Drew, if you know the answer, shut up. Please shut up.
I didn't know the answer.
I know you don't know the answer, because if you did, you would
blurt it out
yeah. and shit all over my story. Okay. So if it comes to your mind, don't even venture a guess.
I have Tourette's, right?
Don't say anything. I come in. I see the thing on the floor. And I say, Jay, why is my drinking cup on the floor? Were you drinking out of it? Which I don't care about, because I don't care about germs. I was curious how it gets onto the floor and against the wall. And he says, no, I didn't touch it. I said, you didn't touch it? And he said, no. I said, well, who else was down here? And by the way, what would be their motivation for taking my drinking cup, filling it halfway with water, and then putting it on the floor and pushing against the door jamb? It doesn't make sense to me. They'd set it on the counter. They'd set it on the bar stool, a cup, or back on, set on the roof of a car. Why is it on the floor? I don't get it. He said, I don't know.
He said that.
Yeah, he said, I don't know. I didn't touch it. I said, Jay, you're the only one who's been down here for the last day or two.
Now it's extra confusing.
How did this come to be?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know. And then he paused and he went, oh, your friend John did come by. This is not a John, you know. Friend John came by, and I said, yeah. I still don't get it. And he said, well, he had his dog with him.
Oh.
And I said, yeah? And he said, well, he was asking for water for his dog. So I think he must have filled it for his dog.
Yeah. He has now replaced Matt. Or was it Matt? Or
Brian. Oh, Brian is not even a – that's not even a podium finish for Brian. Right. Brian used to stand
tall.
Atop
– yeah.
The narcissistic podium with his hands held high. He's now been the one fist. He stood up on the podium like the 68 Olympics, like the black guys with the one fist held high. And now there's a dog. Now he's been knocked head down and fist up, black glove on for narcissists. He's been thrown off of the podium, and John now has inherited all three places. Win, place, and show.
Do you have a picture of John?
No, I don't think I do. And he's lucky.
You had John the nurse, right? Is that John? Is that John?
Remember I said it's a John you don't know?
Yeah. I'm just okay. I'm scrolling through your Johns.
Don't name Johns that you know if I say it's a John you don't know. We're willing to accept there's more than one guy named John.
Really?
And possibly dozens you don't know on this planet.
Really?
This is one of them you don't know.
Right.
Yeah. He was an architect
and
an engineer and a nice guy, but obviously a narcissist. And the thing I like about John is John not only puts the cup on the ground that says do not touch, that is capsized on top of my cooler so his dog can get a drink, which means he has major issues.
Yeah.
And like what I would call a tell.
Yeah.
Not a bad guy. I mean, not a mean guy. Just has narcissistic disorder that's through the roof, obviously. Mm-hmm. But left it there. That's the real disorder, because everyone else has grabbed a cookie from the cookie jar. But what you do is you take the cookie jar and you make it look, you point it back in the shape that it was. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you cover it up.
If you go
but
to someone.
Don't you have a little more respect for him for just leaving it out there?
Respect is not the word. I'm secretly envious.
Envious.
It's not respect. I completely and utterly disrespect it. But I do wish I had one tenth of that. No, but what I mean is like when you pinch a couple Valium from somebody's medicine cabinet, you take two. If you take 10, they'll notice. You take two and then you turn the label back sort of in the direction it was facing so they don't know someone's been messing with it. But you don't bust it open and just throw it on the countertop.
Leave it spilled open on the countertop.
Right. He let his dog drink out of my cup, and then when he was done, it was time to leave.
Well, he's done.
That's my point. He was done. Now, the dog thing is a physical manifestation of this crazed narcissism that we're all entering into. And it's got to the point where, like I said, you're not going to fly without a dog on your flight. Jane Fonda, I saw her leaving a restaurant like, Mastro's or whatever, some popular place in Beverly Hills. And she doesn't travel without her dog because God knows she's a narcissistic bitch of a mess. But you're walking into restaurants with your dogs now. No, listen.
That's not like a tea, a tiny little
It's a decent sized dog.
It's a Westshire Terrier.
A lot of follicles there. But here's what I'm saying to you, Drew.
Yeah.
Dog at the park, fine. Dog at the beach, fine. Although it's illegal to bring your dog on the beach Los Angeles.
Stay on point.
No. I'm going to talk to you about a point. That point is Point Doom in Malibu, and there's a walking trail at the end, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, some of the nicest stretch of coastline that Southern California has to offer. But when I want to walk it with my wife and kids, Molly is forbidden from walking on the trail that I pay for with my tax dollars. Mm. Although I can bring a dog on any flight, and if you're Jane Fonda, you can walk into a fucking restaurant where people are eating.
Oh, my God, there she is on flight with the same dog. Or is that even the same dog?
Yes, Drew. Okay.
That's crazy.
What if it was a different dog?
Well, that's even
you're
more bizarre.
Blowing the lid off it?
No, it's more bizarre that she has to, like, I have my flying dog, I have my restaurant dog, and they all kind of look alike. It's bizarre. It looks like a different dog.
It looks mildly lighter. It looks like the same dog to me that drank a little Clorox. But here's my point, Drew.
Yeah.
Looks like same dog, just different color.
Yeah, the lighting's different.
Okay. So here's the deal, Drew.
Yeah.
Dogs in the restaurant, fine. And the restaurant, you know what people do in a restaurant? They eat. They go out to enjoy themselves and sit down and consume food. And you're sitting in the next booth with your dog? That is going to take away from my night, my pleasure, because dogs have dander and hair and air conditioning and circulated air and stuff. Like, what's floating around on that dog? And I'm not a germ freak. I'm a narcissist freak. You are going out to eat a fucking meal, Jane fucking Fonda. You're going out to a very high-end steakhouse in Beverly Hills. Can you not go out without your dog? I mean, listen. I understand, ironically, it wouldn't be permitted, but you're going to be in the dentist chair getting a root canal for 2 hours. Okay, maybe you want your dog on your lap in that instance because you're in a lot of pain and discomfort and whatever. You can't go out to Mastro's and have a $110 steak and a nice bottle of Pinot Noir for 2 hours that night without your dog? You can't enjoy yourself without your dog?
I don't understand why Ahmadinejad and people like that don't focus on this. Like, you want to know what's going on over there? Want to raise a little money for terrorism?
Yes.
Here's who they are.
From your mouth to Allah's ears.
But isn't that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That's why they hate us. And they should
of course
they don't even
should.
Know how bad it is.
We're fucking flying and, bitch, you're on an airplane. And it's like, hey, I like my dog. Good. But I don't like your dog. And there's a bunch of other people on this airplane that are flying first class. What's up, Drew?
I've been worried about this for a long time. I wrote a book about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's right. It's concerning.
All right.
I don't know where it's going. I don't know where it's going. I don't see the trajectory.
It's not going anywhere. And speaking of that, so I wanted to get your take on a guest I had. I had Gavin Newsom on the other week, and as Lieutenant Governor of California, and my fear is that Tony Villar, who basically ran this city into the ground for 8 years, is now going to move on and run the state into the ground as Governor of California. He's just a stupid guy. I think he has a personality disorder, but really what he's got is a 10-cent head. Like, he's just, if you ever hear Tony Villar speak, it's just I don't know, if it's him or Maxine Waters, like, you literally see them up there going just like, bah, bah, bah. You know, Obama can speak.
Right.
He's a smart guy with a lot of bad ideas, but he's a smart guy who's trying to go the wrong direction as far as his country goes, but he's an articulate, smart guy. Tony Villar is not a smart guy. Like, he has difficulty with the language. And but you have to stay the course. And if you're Gavin Newsom, you have to back Tony Villar. And also, you have to work on that Hispanic vote. As a matter of fact, I don't know in the Democratic Party, I don't know what you do with Gavin Newsom. He's tall and white. his dad was rich. You know what I mean? There's right. no room. We need somebody who's one of us. And one of us is taking over this state. And yes.
We actually have a little clip of Newsom defending Villaraigosa. Hold on a second.
To Adam?
We're stupid.
Right. We're stupid, Gavin. What are we doing?
You got to run for office. You got to stop complaining.
I'm not stupid
Step
enough
in.
To run for office.
Why not?
I'm not
you could
dumb.
Change things.
I would get Villaraigosa to hit me in the head with a snow shovel, and maybe I could get down to his level.
But at least Antonio stepped in. You know, he could sit there complaining. He stepped in. He
stepped into a Telemundo
hard.
Reporter.
He's working hard.
He's working hard.
He's doing his best.
That's the scary part. He did his best when he was trying to pass the bar. He's doing his best,
twice
but he's an idiot.
Mayor. Look, people of LA show,
I'll
want
tell you
him.
The problem. Show me.
Wow.
I mean, Tony Villar, Antonio Villaraigosa.
Right?
Yeah, that was Newsom. He's a complete idiot, and he's a narcissist, and he has a personality disorder. But I don't care about any of that stuff. He's not effective at all. Well, he is. He's worried about his constituency, which is.
Talking about Villaraigosa or Villar now?
They're the
or
same
Newsom.
Person. Newsom.
Oh.
Villaraigosa's real name is Tony Villar.
I did not know that.
Well, he doesn't brag about that. His name's Tony Villar. His name was always Tony Villar. But he changed it to Antonio Villaraigosa. Why do you think he did that?
To appeal to the Hispanic voter.
Huh. Hmm. Now, Gavin Newsom, and you can listen, help me with this problem.
That's fucking crazy.
Well, he graduated, when he was in college, his name was Tony Villar. You know, it's not like he changed it in the eighth grade. Most people go by the same name they go by when, you know, once you get to 20 or 21 or whenever he got married, once you make it to 25 years of age, you usually take that one to the grave. Even guys named, you know, Jimmy, like Jimmy Kimmel, he's going to be Jimmy at 87.
Right.
We're not going to call him James. But he went first and last. Anyway, this is Gavin Newsom, and he's talking about the problem, and as he sees it, the problem are these predatory check cashing places. Give a listen. I want everybody to plan, look down the road 6 months. Yes, your husband lost his job. That's why you need to sock away some money when he's gainfully employed. Yes, they foreclosed on your home. That's why you need to have a network, a community, right. friends, family members, money put away.
I got it. But think about
don't
it, Adam,
have the
half,
kids.
Half of African Americans in the state of California, roughly half of Latino families, have no access to a checking account or an ATM. Things we take for granted. They don't have a checking.
What's
account.
Wrong with them?
And what, but what, well, because they don't have the resources to sock those things away.
Why do we have them?
A lot of different reasons, but roughly half those families don't. Where do they
why
end
do
up?
Armenians have them?
But where they end up is why, in check cashing places.
But I
want to
know why those
lenders,
groups, why advantage. Those two groups don't have access.
Well, a lot of it just happens to be that we can
so
talk
they're
about.
Flawed?
This. No, they're hardly flawed, but they're struggling.
Genetically
folks are making
flawed.
Their word. Hardly, not absolutely.
But okay,
not.
So but
absolutely
do Asians
not.
Have this problem?
I mean, a lot of communities have. A lot of whites have these problems.
Oh,
but
so
I just,
that's not just black and Hispanic.
No, but it. But
why
I'm giving
you bring up black and Hispanic?
Because the magnitude is ominous.
But why so many of them?
It just happens to be the
just,
magnitude.
That's the way God planned it.
Not at all.
Well, what happened to them?
There are a lot of issues, and with it, that the communities are struggling. A lot
why
of new
are they
immigrants.
Struggling?
A lot of. A lot of different reasons.
All right. Well, that's a problem solver if I've ever heard one. It just is. It is. Drew, it'd be great if you're a doc. You're a doctor, right?
Right.
Hey, I have hepatitis C. What can we do about it?
A lot of people struggle with that.
Right. But I have hepatitis C.
And what are you going to do? It's the way things are. A lot of people struggle with it.
Right. But I have hepatitis C. I want to cure
I'm
it.
I'm sure a lot of people have hepatitis C. We got to think about that.
Right, but I have hepatitis C, and I'd like to cure it.
Huh?
I want to cure it.
Huh?
I'd like to cure my problem.
Oh, a lot of people struggle with that problem.
Okay. Well, I'm cured. Nice work. It's a good thing these guys aren't doctors. So all he knew was that for some – he didn't know why. Just for some reason, the black and Hispanic families were struggling, but he had no – by the way – if you don't know why, I need you out. I don't need people who don't know why. Now, to be fair to him, he's lying. I mean, to be fair to
he's
Gavin
hiding.
Newsom.
He's pretending not to know.
He's, well, stupid or liar is my new game. Either he's stupid or he's a liar. Now, he's not stupid, so thus that makes him a liar. But okay, but here's the deal. Look, ask me about any of the problems in our society. Well, you know, roads, infrastructure, schools. Yeah, go ahead, Drew.
Why are bridges falling apart so much?
Hey, you know, there's a lot of bridges.
Why so many potholes?
Hold on. There's bridges, but there's bridges in Kentucky that are falling apart, and bridges that are in, you know, the bridges of Madison County. That was a good movie. I like that book. That was a good book. Clint Eastwood was awesome in that.
Jeff Bridges was good, too.
Yeah. Potholes? Yeah, there's holes. Some of them have pot in them. Others don't. But there's potholes. But what's your question? Were you saying our roads? There's something wrong with our roads? Yeah. I don't know.
You need to run for office.
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
These guys have a new job.
I don't know how to fix this.
Campaign managers.
I don't know how to fix it. They would make great contractors. Hey, there's a fucking hole in the roof, Gavin, and it's leaking. Well, what are you going to do? A lot of roofs. A lot of holes. Everyone's got a roof.
And holes.
And holes. Okay. Does that solve? So he solves. Now, he brings up a problem.
People with flat roofs, especially, have leaks.
He recognizes.
Flat roof people have real problems.
There's problems with scuppers. There's problems with parapets. He's going to look into it. So he brought up a problem. He brought up a problem. I asked him what the solution was.
Why is there a, or why what the nature that, of the problem
what
is.
The nature what the source of the problem, was, of the problem is. And he would not address it. Now, the reason you have people in public office is so that they can look at problems, address them, correct them, and fix them, whether they're crime, poverty, whatever, pollution, whatever it is. That's what our elected leaders are supposed to be doing. If you're not going to ask the question why, I don't think we're ever going to solve that problem. And I don't know why the people who are suffering most from this problem have decided that he's the guy. And they're the people who we need to lead us. Because I don't feel like there's effective leadership going on when you're going, huh? What? Yeah, I don't know. Well, a lot of people. No, everybody. Well, no, some people. That went on for 20 minutes, by the way, Drew. That was, you heard 2 minutes? Mm. There was 20 of that. I did provide an answer for Gavin Newsom. Would you like to hear it? I think you'd be entertained by it.
Scared or entertained?
Well, you're puss, so you'll have to do what you do. But
okay,
God, we have it.
I mean, I get your world, Adam, which is a little bit more clean cut and idealistic, a little less pragmatic in terms of the world.
It's
the
wildly
rest of us
pragmatic. Stop it for a second. A little less pragmatic than the guy who will provide no answers. I don't know. Is pragmatic?
What's his upbringing?
Kevin Newsom.
Does he come from money?
Oh, he says he comes from a broken family, except for his dad was lead counsel for Getty Oil.
Right. So that's what it feels like to me, somebody with money who
white guilt.
Who studied this stuff versus somebody who was poor like yourself.
He didn't study anything. So no, he's white guilt. No, he studied his constituency.
But you're a guy who was poor and got out of it.
I don't have the guilt.
Not just the guilt. You have your experience you're calling upon. He didn't study shit.
He doesn't study anything. He studies the demographics and wants to get elected.
Yeah.
Here we go. With family, they have a problem with – they don't focus on education. That will get them out of the problem they're in.
On education? I don't think there's any community that cares more about education than the Latino community.
Wow.
I don't know. Do you want to stop it there? No.
Drew, there's no community that cares more about education than the Latino community. That's an interesting statement.
Yeah, but you screwed that up with Prop 186.
What was that? Where they have to learn English in school?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So Jew, Japanese, Asian, white, they trump all of them. I did not know that. You can rewind it a bit because I told him he should take a look at the test scores. He's not interested in that's not a yardstick to measure education. You know that, Drew.
But that does feel uncomfortable, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable because it's true.
No, I'm not sure that's true.
Oh, go ahead.
No, because
we'll get them out of the problem. I'll solve this problem with you. All just right. Put them in the top five. Don't put them at number one.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think there's any community that cares more about education than the Latino community.
Wow.
I don't know.
Check those test scores.
No, people are, I mean, come on, that's not fair. They can't tell you. Look at this school.
Checking test scores, not fair? I know. Look at the schools. the schools that you guys have been running into the ground? You guys have been in charge here. Those are your schools. What's going on with those schools? By the way, those schools are inhabited by the community that is the most interested in education. So what? You have an entire student body filled with kids of an ethnic group that is the most interested in education. So what? The school should be a paradise, right? What's he talking about? I don't get what he's talking about. All right.
They care deeply. Look at this school system. Look how lousy the system is. Look how lousy the system is.
I don't care who goes in that system. But it doesn't suck if you have parents that are together and put an emphasis on education.
It's bad for, they care deeply about education. Care deeply about health care.
Oh, they care
about these options.
Okay. Well, then why do some groups do so much better?
I mean, what do you mean by groups? Almost everybody's struggling in some way, shape, or form.
There's a huge difference in academic performance between Asians and Hispanics. Yes or no?
There's certainly examples within the Asian community.
Yes or no?
Examples.
No, within the Asian community, examples. Chinese community in particular. Other members of the Asian community, South Korean, Koreans generally. That's generally true.
Okay, agreed.
Why is it true?
You know what? I'm not a sociologist. I'm not someone perhaps you...
So he's not there to figure anything out? What's he there for? Listen, I don't know. First is that's not true. Then there's isolated examples.
Within Asian groups.
Right, except for it's not isolated examples. It's huge percentage points differences in groups. They'll put one Mexican guy up against one Japanese guy in a game of chess to decide which group is smarter. They have standardized testing, and one group isn't doing as well. I would like to focus on the group that's not doing as well and attempt to fix that group and correct that behavior and have them not wait in line at the check cashing place.
Here's where I think you're really unfair. And dig this. That I think that because the politicians have run these educational systems so deeply into the ground that Hispanics who do care deeply about education don't really – it's like trying to be a shopper in a mall where you don't really know what the products are. They don't know what – they may not have been exposed to good education, so don't know when their kids aren't really getting what they need to get.
But if the school's 90%
– I'm just – think about it.
Hispanic, why – and they're deeply interested in education.
They're deeply interested in it, but don't know necessarily – haven't been exposed to it, so don't really know when they're not
– Show up every day. Do what the teacher tells you to do. Do homework.
Okay. I'm going to say something very controversial. But the schools may be populated by people who came through those systems that they themselves don't really know, and the politicians are grinding these systems into the ground further. So it's sort of a bubble that self-perpetuates, not because people aren't interested in and really want education.
No, well, listen, everybody wants education. Everybody wants – no. Everyone wants education. Everyone wants prosperity. Everyone wants health care. Yeah. Everyone wants no war.
Yeah.
And the war. But not everyone wants to do what it takes to get to that place.
Some people – this is – may not understand what's necessary because they're not no one in authority has led them into it.
Yes. They're not being educated on education.
Yeah.
They're not being – first, they're not being asked to do the things that they need to do by
but
people
is that
like
– their fault? Is that the politician's fault? I think it's the leader's fault. I think that's your point too.
No. It's both. It's a culture that starts down a certain highway, and instead of getting in front of that culture and saying, no, here's how we're going to do
it. That's leadership.
That's leadership. Yeah. You stand back and cheer them on, and now they're going at breakneck speed down the wrong highway. They need to get in front of that and move it a different direction. There's different cultures.
I blame leaders for that.
So. Now you have people that are enablers.
Yes.
Instead of...
We're agreeing. I think we're agreeing.
No, we're not. We are agreeing that people like Newsom are worthless and doing nothing.
Well, are hurting these
but you're hurting taking, people. But you're also taking the burden off of the family and putting it in the lap of Newsom. The answer is an easy answer. Don't drop out. Stay in school, do your homework, keep the families together. Yes, the school's a piece of shit. Many schools are pieces of shit. I've said it many times. I'll say it again. I went to a school that had everything. So I've been through the Petri dish.
What do you mean had everything? The shittiness, you mean?
I went to North Hollywood High, which at the time was just a high school in the Valley. Said it many times. I had my white friends, Ray and Chris and those guys. I had my Jewish friends, Nate Wittenberg and Robbie Levine. I had my Mexican friends, George Espinoza. And
your Egyptian friends.
I had some Egyptian friends. I had some Japanese friends. And I had the brothers who were bussed in from South Central. I played Michael Odom, guys like that, played on the football team with. By and large, when everyone graduated, but not everyone graduated, when it was time to be done with high school, the Jewish kids and the Asian kids tended to go off to Cal and UCLA, and I started cleaning up trash on a construction site with my buddy Ray, and a lot of the brothers just went back to South Central and did I don't know what, and the Mexicans cleaned up trash with me on the construction site.
To me, that's a heartbreaking indictment of the system. Not your guys' families.
What?
Not the culture you came
from. Can I ask this? But the Jewish guys and the Asian guys were in the exact same system.
But they have a history and a culture of their own.
Oh, a culture.
No, a history.
Where'd they get the history? Where'd they get the culture? Okay. Thanks, Drew. The point is this. We all were in the same system.
But what'd that extra 2 years do for you? Why didn't you just drop out?
I played football.
Played football, learned to work with weathered feldspar.
Yeah, no, the system didn't work then.
It's got to be worse now.
I don't know. It's worse in certain places. It's better in others. North Hollywood wins academic competitions now.
What?
I'm sure it's like 9 Indian kids who do it. But the point is the system never really was meant to be a system. You see, that's... Here's where everyone, like you, Drew, is dropping the ball. It never was a system. It was show up, sit in class, old guy reads textbook.
Babysitting.
Go home, do homework, family involved, couple of PTA meetings, couple of open houses, take your tests, and go off to college or go off to be a pipe fitter. That was it. They were never going to help. They were never going to hurt. They were just there. I had a counselor. Everyone had a counselor. I didn't talk to the guy the entire time until I got suspended. That's it. He didn't help. He didn't hurt. It was a system. Now, my problem was, unlike some of Nate Wittenberg's family, who's now a doctor or a nurse or something, and Alex Arado's family, who's now an attorney, he had a family. They said to him, where's your homework?
Yeah.
What's going on?
No, there's no doubt that family, intact family and interested parenting and all that stuff is the key.
Well, not the key. Newsom doesn't have it in his top 10.
But we got to get an educator in here we don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Are you fucking nuts? I know everything. What do you mean I don't know what I'm talking about? We need an educator.
It'd be interesting.
You need an educator.
Wouldn't it be interesting?
No, they don't know what the fuck they're mouthpieces for the state. They don't know what they're talking about. We all know what the answer is. Everyone get their shit together. Let's go. Let's focus. Show up. Show up early. Do your homework. Get your shit together. Hey, parents, if your kid ain't showing up, that's not us. That's not us. We're not going to go looking for them. You figure out why your kid's fucking home. And when they say, well, I work 3 jobs and I have 9 kids and there's no man around. Well, whose fucking fault is that? That's what we need. And I'm saying it, now I knock
Oh,
this is the greatest moment ever. I just dumped my coffee.
There's a little something.
I dumped my coffee all over myself, which I've never done in my life. And it had to be the day I made fun of Dr. Drew. I was that animated. The point is this. I am saying it because unlike Gavin Newsom, I would like change. You can blame the system. I
blame the leadership.
Okay. We've had 40 years of the system and 40 years of the leadership. You want to go?
No, but you're saying the same thing. You're saying the leadership needs to get up there and say, hey, everybody, get your shit together. That's leadership. As opposed to, we got to grind these schools into dust, which is what the leadership has been doing.
Look.
Right?
You put way, Drew, you and I have been going around on this a million years. I've told you this a million times. You are so focused on education.
Yes.
But you're focused on the facility, not the kid. First things first, if your kid is curious, you're home free.
Yes, now, you made it through, but for the grace of God, because you have a certain kind of brain.
No. I've known a lot of people. First thing is you have to be curious. You have to ask questions. You have to go, why? I don't understand that. How does that work? I want to know. That's number one.
So you need motivation, which is the key problem today. Nobody's motivated for anything.
I don't know if it's motivation. I don't know if curiosity is motivation.
It's an engine. It's a motivational state.
The point is this. We can start by having a family that's intact,
yes,
that puts emphasis on education, meaning when you come home from school, there are two adults there who go, where's your homework? The problem will magically go away. The bureaucrats, they're horrible at everything they do. So you can blame them, and I do blame them, but they ain't going to be fixed. They're too busy running for reelection. Mm. You get what I'm saying?
I'm saying you should run for office.
I should.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
Okay. All right. You want to play? Go to meeting. Me knocking this cup over is really
why
just
are you
the greatest
for my
thing
cup?
Ever. Oh, did mine get taken away?
I guess so.
Oh, because your cup is actually my cup from my house.
Interesting.
That's why it looks familiar to me.
You had a weird reach for it. It was like weird.
Yeah, you do a commercial for
Phantom once. Adam. Go to meeting.com. Mm-hmm. Colleagues working in different offices, traveling, get the team together. It's GoToMeeting with HD Faces by mm-hmm. Citrix. Mm-hmm. It's a site where you can do video conferencing and work on a shared document, spreadsheets, collaborate, and you can switch off whose document you're working on. Start hosting face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting free for 30 days.
I just use these guys. We use these guys all the time. We had a whole Mangria meeting.
Remember the Denver thing where a guy comes out, stood up and said, hey, why do you always say you use these things? One of our first questions at the Denver
He
asked me. He stood up and goes,
No. That was
that later?
Well, no. The first question in Denver, which is always the worst. It's always the first is always the worst. The first and the last are always the worst. The Q&A time in Denver. The first one was the guy said, that's why, Drew, I don't know who you are, but I enjoy telling people to fuck off. Now, hold on a second. Now you're going to knock your mug over.
Let me finish this. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam.
All right.
GoToMeeting. Free for 30 days.
Good guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, you met Michael.
And so I said, I use this thing, which I have. And the guy stands up and goes, do you have an ethical problem with supporting or using or reading ads for something you don't use? You always say you use GoToMeeting and LegalZoom. I go, well, because I do. I've used them, and they're good.
Well, okay. First off, couple things. First question out of Denver was a guy who stood up. There's 1,500 people in an auditorium, and he stood up. And I started the show by complaining that
– hold on. Slow down.
That the driver who picked me up at the airport when we were going out to Applejack's liquor store, the driver who picked me up at the airport gave us a – he was sitting out in his town car for, half hour waiting for me and Mike to arrive. And his first thing out of his mouth was, so where are we going? And I'm like, well, we're going somewhere that's halfway between Denver and Golden, Colorado, about 55 miles from here. It's a liquor store. Well, where is it? Ugh. I'm like, isn't part of your job when you pick someone up for the airport to just know? I mean, you're not a cab driver. You're a town car. Like, and then he went, oh, yeah, I got it. He had it. But the point is go ahead and look at it. And then he started to punch it into his Garmin. Like he was like, oh, yeah, hold up. And I was like, really? We're sitting here while you're now punching this address into your Garmin when you've been sitting in your car for half an hour. Punch it into the Garmin before. Anyway, I was complaining about that. And then this asshole in Denver stood up and he said, hey, man, you're complaining about the guy didn't know where he was going. When he picked you up in the town car, but your own website didn't have the address to the liquor store on it. And I said, is that true? Because we talked about this, and I've yelled at a lot of people about this very
same topic.
Lynette
lives in fear of this particular problem.
Good.
She wakes up one night with night terrors, screaming, I forgot to put the address on the website.
No, she doesn't. And the reason she doesn't is because if she was scared, then it would never not happen. Do you see?
Because it happened, you mean she's not scared.
Well, I've had that discussion with her before where the bar was always like kind of danky.
I thought you got through that. I thought you got it, though.
No, no, she did. At a certain point.
Yeah, now she's having night terrors.
No, at a certain point, she said, "You scare me." And I said, "No, I don't." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "If I scared you, the bar would have been cleaned out the 88th time I asked for it." Not, dude, that's what's scaring. I know what scared is. I used to live next to a kid named Max who had a stepdad who...
Scary.
And he would yell, like you just hear that voice, "Max!" And he used to run with his arms by his side, like straight with his palms down. And he'd yell. He ran like it was a weird, like a wooden
like
soldier
he was trying
running.
To fly.
Like he was trying to fly. And he'd just take out, like we'd be playing in the yard. Yeah. And he'd just be running. "Yes, sir!" And he'd be running around the corner. And I thought, well, there's a scared kid. Now, yelling back, "Hey, what do you want, old man?"
Like you did.
"Did you take your asshole pills today? What's up?" That's not my definition of scared. But this asswipe stood up and wanted to know why it wasn't on the website, which I don't know what kind of question that is to ask. Like,
what? Well, this is
what was that? I blamed the driver. He stood up in front of 1,500 people and was like, "Hey, man, you said that driver didn't know where he was going and you were complaining about that, but your own website didn't have address."
Think of that motivation to get up and go to the mic. Think of that engine. Yeah. And Adam took a show of hands in the theater for how many people found the
I said,
address.
"I think it's on the website." He's like, "No, it's not on the website." I said, I yell at everyone every day to put it on the website. He said, "It's not on the website." I said, "Okay, show of hands, because I know 400 of you people showed up at that event today. How many people saw it on the website?" 400 hands went up, yeah. And I said, "Shut the fuck up." And we moved on to our next question. I don't know who that guy is. I don't know what the motivation is, and I have no fucking idea. But do they know what colossal dicks they are, or do they know how defective they are mentally?
That's sort of the male version. Well, it's the guy that brings the feeds the dog out of your cup, probably that guy. And it's sort of the male version.
This is the confrontational, aggressive version.
Version of that. Yeah, same guy, though, probably.
Yeah.
So he's got that guy without a filter.
Right. All right. By the way, me and Dr. Drew, Vegas, House of Blues. Oh, that Southwest flight with Howard's going to be awesome.
That should be fun, though, right?
Yeah, except for the part where I have to sit next to your 300-pound manager on a Southwest flight on the way there. We got to work out that seating. Salt Lake City, Kingsbury Hall, coming up in March. Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, that's April 13th. Napa Uptown Theater, May 18th. That's me and Dr. Drew. You can go through the Amazon link on the adamcarolla.com/Adam and Drew. Huh? On the Amazon. I don't know why. All the verbiage involving anything on a website to me.
Confuses.
It's on the, go to the, at the. It's the ats and the thes. Screw me up. You read it, Drew.
Click through the Amazon link at adamcarolla.com/Adam and Drew. So you got to go there, bookmark that, and then you can go automatically to Amazon when you purchase and keep the pirate ship afloat.
I need to say /. That's my big problem.
Yeah.
And you can donate by clicking the PayPal donate button or set a donation subscription, which would be nice because I said Dr. Drew makes a lot of money and he comes in here for free just for yous. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla. Chris Maxpata, Mike Lynch, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.